Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison from Happiness Is Egg-Shaped. And that's right, he's excited again. He thinks every one of them special. This one is special. It's been a chase, but finally I've tracked her down and I am so happy. One of the characters, one of the stalwarts, one of the experienced players, but I still think of her as a young up-and-coming rugby player because she has that energy and enthusiasm that just fills a room, runs a line out, smashes rucks, and drinks a lot of coffee and goes for a lot of lunches. One of Scotland's finest, struggling at the moment, but she will be back. Let's bring in the one and the only Emma Wassell. Hello.
That was a pretty good intro, that was.
It's not my first rodeo. Oh, you make it very easy. You are like the one of the darlings of Scottish rugby. You are all over the place. You're in high demand. How does it feel to finally be a rugby player?
Oh,
as your job. You've always been a rugby player, but as your job, sorry.
Yeah, I've been involved with Scotland Women for 10 years now, so it never
10 years.
Yeah, I know, scary. I was 18 when I started, and you can do the maths.
No, I can't. No, I can't. That is crazy. But I mean, podcasts, photographs, speaking gigs, TV gigs, doing a bit of punditry. Does it feel a bit out of body, or is it just take it in your stride?
It does when you reflect, I suppose, back to kind of how much it's changed. But I'm just going with it. I'm evolving with it, and I'm loving it. It's as you say, it's just, it is insane when people say, "What do you do?" And you're like, "A rugby player." I'm just kind of trying to seize every opportunity I have with it. Obviously, currently injured, so. Being injured, you can get pretty down about that. So it's actually just trying to make the most of the opportunities you have when you are injured and that's not on the pitch. It's pretty cool.
It was cool when you popped up on TV as the pundit, because that has to be the future for you. Because although you are a very good player, you've got a rugby brain. You love a line out. Geez, you can bore the socks off anybody about a line out. How does it feel watching? Because you had such a consistent spell of playing that you mustn't have had time to watch anything other than analysis. Now, you're having to watch almost as a supporter. I know you're still feeding stuff in. I know you've still got a leadership role there. But what Are you a good spectator?
Oh, I suppose it's actually very different watching it on the TV to watching it in the stands. Of course, I am a sofa critic. Everyone is. And you can say what they should be doing or what you want them to do or what wasn't good enough or whatever. But I am also hugely understanding of being in that position as well. But I honestly believe, because I've never properly been able to take a step back and watch Scotland women like this before. And I think I can probably learn a lot from it and hopefully come back a better player for it as well.
When you're playing, I think this group especially, and it's changing because that's just how it goes, understand how important you are to the rugby landscape. I know you talk a lot about inspiring the future. Do you get a greater sense of that sitting in the stand with 3,000 people watching than you do on the pitch, do you think?
Yeah, I think I have been able to, as I say, just take a step back and see it all in front of me. And that is, yeah, seeing the kids that are just dying to speak to players after the game. And like, even me in crutches, not in rugby kit, and even kids seeing, noticing me in that sense is crazy as well. But not even that, adults, people behind the scenes, people really care and are really invested in the game. And I don't think sometimes when you're on the pitch, you'll see that or really understand that quite as much as I maybe have from having this wee break. Yeah.
Last year when you played England at Damhealth, I was sitting next to Debs McCormack, just as a freak, just where we'd bought her tickets. It was hilarious. She, like, when there was a line out, she was up like almost jumping, and you could see her sort of moving with the game. And I was a bit like that when I stood on the sideline as a coach, but it was hilarious watching her. And I said to her, "You should still be out there." And she went, "No chance, no way." It seemed like she knew maybe her time was done, but she still had that love and that feeling for it. Are you sitting in the crowd calling the line outs before they're called and telling everybody what's going to happen and hitting rucks, or are you able to relax?
Oh, I think when it comes to line out time, that is something I kind of pride myself in, the knowledge I've learned, and that's obviously attacking and defence. So I do get a wee bit excited about it, and I'm like, oh, that's maybe not the right call, or ultimately really good call that. but yeah, I don't know. I do know for a fact by watching the kind of desire I have to play and to play at a high level is stronger than ever. I think that is something you can take from injury. You can go one way or another. And I'm so driven to get back on that pitch because it looks like a lot of fun.
It does look like a lot of fun. When I saw that video of you on Instagram pulling, it was like, yeah, there's a bit extra in there. She wants back really quickly. Watching the Six Nations, frustrating start. Like no other real, you know, we can't sugarcoat it. It was a really frustrating start. The Welsh game especially just got away. That's tough to watch when you're not able to make an impact. But when you look at the team, Hannah Smith retired, Megan Gaffney retired, players away with GB Sevens, yourself, Sarah Bonner, Jade only just coming back into things. Realistically, it was still decent, but you want to win. And the players took that one pretty sore. To then come back and perform like that against Italy, I mean, I saw the look on your face after the game. It was like you were just ecstatic, as everybody was. Was there a huge sense of relief, or was there we knew we could do that?
A bit of both, I think. I think ultimately coming into the Six Nations, our target games were Wales, Italy and Ireland. I'm not saying that we can't challenge England and France, but I think everyone in the rugby world is aware of kind of the difference there is between the four other nations, England and France. So I think it was important for us to kind of go into them two games with maybe a slightly different mindset, but to still challenge ourselves. And I really do believe in areas of the England game, we achieved that. And also first half maybe of the France game, other parts of the game, we probably did let ourselves down a little bit and let us go in ourselves a wee bit. The Wales game is hugely disappointing, especially with our history with Wales. That was a tough one to take, and I think we had a lot to prove coming into the Italy game. I don't think the belief kind of ever faltered, in the sense I do think every player knew they could win that game. And I was speaking to Rach Malcolm after the game, and she was like, honestly, even when there was obviously that period in play where Italy came back with two consecutive tries, she's like, it didn't feel like a panic. It did feel like we had it under control, and we were gonna win that. And it's sometimes rare that you get that feeling. I was delighted for them. And yeah, there is a sense of relief, and we're not gonna kind of beat around the bush. We had 12 consecutive losses in a row, and mentally as a player, that's hard. That's really hard. And given, and I know how hard them players are training, and how much they want it and how much it means to them. So yeah, there was a bit of relief, but also a huge amount of belief.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Rachel Malcolm, I mean, she's superwoman, isn't she? She's such a great leader. She's inspiring. My wife knows a lot about rugby. She never really played, but she's a big fan of Rachel Malcolm. And I love that she's reaching parts that maybe female rugby players didn't reach previously. And she's a great role model. And I know you guys have a huge amount of respect for her.
Yeah, absolutely. She is. And I think this statistic is that she played 5 games for Scotland before she became captain, which most people might seem... Like there's maybe this assumption that you have to have played for Scotland X amount of years to become captain, and I'm not also saying that captain comes naturally as such, but she, from her other walks of life, academically and in sport, she was previously a hockey player. She had a huge, her character, everything about her, she screams leader, and God, she's a bloody good one, I must say. Yeah, she's incredible, and especially takes a lot on her shoulders personally. And again, it's not been easy, but we have also had some pretty good highs. She's an incredible captain.
She took Wales tough, didn't she? We both saw her. It was pretty soon after, and she was taking her time to get over that one, I think.
Yeah, no, that, as I say, that one was a raw one, I must admit.
Well, let's talk about some of those highs. Some of your buddies, and you're saying you've been involved with Scotland for 10 years, and there's a lot of you who have been through all that time together. To take out you and Sarah Bonner from the second row is tough, but Louise McMillan, in she goes, having played mostly back row. Jade heads up. I don't know if she drew the short straw or how that went, but she ended up in there.
Why did there be a short straw going in at second row? I want to change the narrative here.
But when you've got the depth of the back row, I mean, Evie, bonkers. I mean, that, she's just unreal. And then you add the Rachels, and putting Jade and Louise, that back five of the scrum is high work rate, high energy, I mean, brutal, but great for the future. To, you know, I'm not sure we're going to see the benefits of this until everybody else comes back too, and the competition is going to be tough.
It is actually really exciting, and I think, yeah, it's, we don't have a huge amount of depth in Scotland compared to your England anyway. So it's actually really exciting to see, well, yeah, that back middle row, as Brian calls it, middle row.
Brian's like me, he's old.
Like middle row, who calls it that? And now it's sticking in my brain. So strong. And as you say, Jade is absolute class at 8, but so is Evie, and I think having Jade on the pitch is really important as well. Yeah. So it's exciting. It's going to be hard to get back in there, but it's good. The competition for us individually is good.
And what about your prodigy? Eva comes on for 10 minutes and just smashes it. How good was she?
She is been involved again a few years now, just even with the training and stuff, and she's come on so much. She's a wee mini me, I think.
Have you got her under the wig?
Look, she appreciates a line out like everyone should, but they don't, so.
And then some of the personal highs. You know Rona better than me. I've known her for a long time. To score that try in Hong Kong and already be emotional before she crosses the line and pick up a bronze medal, amazing. Shona with them. Tomo has had a ridiculous few weeks. Hall of Fame at Melrose, bronze in Hong Kong, then gets her 50th cap and wins at home. Helen Nelson picking up her 50th cap. Debutants, and there's so many stories to tell about this squad.
Yeah, I think it's so exciting to see. I got my 50th cap 2021, and at the time I was fortunate enough that that was the first 50th cap they'd had in quite a while because of where Scotland Women were at and people who were kind of in and out, and so it was the first one in a while, and then it felt so the game itself was a huge occasion, but I didn't think people knew really like what you do on a 50th cap, like, and it's just so exciting to see how many are now getting a 50th caps, which just kind of shows the strength in the squad and how long we've stuck together, and I think that is so important and probably a huge reason for our success
and coming through COVID.
Yeah,
because you were able to train as elite athletes, weren't you? So you were able to, and you're such a sociable bunch. You're all best buddies. Follow any of you on Instagram, and you're all sharing the same coffee picture and lunch picture. And I mean, geez, you're good for the economy, you lot. But that's so important, isn't it?
No, it is. The kind of connection we have as a squad, and obviously, don't get me wrong, you have your best friends throughout the squad, but as a whole, the squad is super, super close, and I think that's so important. I think that's why the wins and the losses sometimes feel maybe more emotional or are so, so important, because it's obviously so much bigger than just maybe a game. But yeah, I also have some very, very close friends in there, which again, you can't imagine who I was without them, but before Scotland rugby. So no, I'm hugely proud of all of them and what they've achieved as well.
It's time you lot started doing some kind of coffee shop review and have a
a sponsor or something.
There you go. Yeah, well, let's make some calls. It's got to happen. So finally, on the Six Nations, ambition obviously has to beat Ireland, finish as high as possible.
Yep. So I think, you know what, you can sometimes come into Six Nations and actually where you place, there's not, unless you're coming first, you know what I mean? There's not, maybe it doesn't mean anything as such in terms of maybe just world rankings. However, where we place in the Six Nations does determine where we will play in the World XV tournament in October. So I actually think that gives it a wee bit more edge, because ultimately, if you come third, you are in the Six Nations, you're in the top tier. 1, 2, and 3 are in the top tier. Fourth will go in the second tier of the World XV, and it's a wee bit more complicated with fifth and sixth. We are hoping, obviously we'd like that third spot, but it's a tough ask given Wales's point difference currently. However, if we can aim for that fourth spot, which would mean beating Ireland, I think that would be a real good success for us.
I think it's good that there's a bit of jeopardy on the positions, because otherwise it can become a bit of a, it still means something, but giving it a little bit extra, I think it's a good thing. It's going to make it a great Saturday. So excited for the games. When you look at England talking about so many ticket sales, Are you able to applaud that and just celebrate it, or is there a little bit of green-eyed monster too?
No, like genuinely, how it is incredible. And again, we have already spoke about where England and France are on their journey, and they are slightly ahead of where we are at. And you can only look at that and hope that one day that you are in that position, because it's incredible. It is really incredible. And we've always said playing at Dam Health we absolutely love, because we'd much rather have a full stadium, or a, what feels like a full stadium, than sitting in an empty Murrayfield ultimately, because you don't want to be in a big stadium with a couple of thousand. And that's why we love Dam Health Stadium so much, playing there at home. But if one day you were to tell me that we were going to play in BT Murrayfield with 40,000, 50,000 fans, like that is what dreams are made of. But yeah, you can just hope that we'll get there in a few years.
Yeah, I hope so. World Cup, I mean, just so good. As a kid, I got up in the middle of the night to watch the British Lions play in New Zealand before kickoff times were adjusted to mean everybody could watch it. People were getting up in the middle of the night to watch your games. I don't know if you said about looking back. I don't know if any of you at the moment can fully appreciate how far that has come to have that back here. But it must have been an unreal experience.
It was. I can't. Oh, like it is so surreal to even think how much we spoke about it before qualifying, before it got postponed, all the rest of it. It was. We were desperate to go to a World Cup, and I was part of obviously the previous year where we didn't qualify. But a World Cup in New Zealand hits just that little bit different. And we just kind of, there was probably points in time we spoke of it as if it was a dream and maybe not possible. And then there was times where we were like, no, we can do this. And with COVID, the circumstances around qualifications changed various times. And it just all became like, it was very difficult and that we were maybe not going to get the opportunity. But yeah, obviously qualifying and actually getting out there, it was a dream. And don't get me wrong, we were like bitterly disappointed on kind of our results, and obviously Wales and Australia, they were just so close and it could have been so different. But you know what, like that's us back on the world stage. It's been I think 12 years since we were last at World Cup, so yeah, it was important to us. It was an immense experience as a squad and kind of see New Zealand, the culture, everything about it. But I do, there is obviously just a small bit of disappointment on some of the results.
I get that, and that's obvious. But as a journey from where you've come from to get there, to be so close, that must just provide greater motivation for the next one. And some won't be there that were in New Zealand, as we've already said, Hannah and Megan have retired from international rugby, and there might be more between now and then, and some of these young bucks coming in, taking spaces. But is that something that's been discussed yet, or is it just dealing with the job that's right in front?
No, I think that is really important, that actually what we're doing now will impact qualification for the World Cup, and that's what I mean. It's, everything is quite connected now, in the sense of World Six Nations determines your World XV, and your World XV is ultimately going to determine your World Cup qualification. And yeah, it's been discussed and something I've thought about, because actually what we went through, and we qualified for World Cup in January, which we were playing in October, and that's not, it's not ideal, really. You want to have at least a full year knowing that you're preparing for World Cup. Whereas, yeah, that same year we found out we were going. So we have spoke about it and how important these games are now. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that if we lose one, we just forget it, give up, because there's obviously going to be opportunities, but it is really important. And obviously the next World Cup is in England, Obviously, it's not New Zealand, but I think from a sense of friends and family and actually home support, that could be really, really special.
Yeah, I agree. One of my favourite memories of my own rugby life was Edinburgh were playing when you were playing in Dubai. And there was a little moment in the game that went quiet and I'd got the result and I had the press guys in front of me saying, "Has MD heard? Has MD heard?" And I had the score. And there was a little lull, but I read the Irish score first and then I left a massive pause and the whole place just went quiet and I announced the Scotland score and 6,500 people just went nuts knowing that it, and Rory Lawson wrote about it the following week saying he did a congratulations to the squad and then said about the announcement of the dam health and how far the game had come. Again, here's in the back of my neck stand up because honestly, it was awesome. It was so good because none of us could be there because it was still weird world.
Yeah.
And it was just cool. I mean, do you realise the ripple effect of that?
No, I remember hearing about that. And again, that's the kind of things that a lot of players won't see and won't actually realise. There's so many people that really do want us to succeed. And yeah, that's really a big driver for us as well.
Yeah, it was so cool. When you're playing, the club game up here at the moment isn't as competitive as it needs to be to provide the sort of platform for international players. So a lot of players have gone south. Obviously, France has been an option as well. Do you chat about, oh, we need a second row here, or, oh, you know, what have you thought about this, or here they need something? How does it work with recruitment to go down south?
I think personally, my own journey to Loughborough Lightning is probably was
just because everybody else was there.
Maybe
the coffee shops are great.
Ultimately, I think at the time they needed a second role. I wasn't committed to an English club. There was already some Scottish players there, and I'd already previously spoken to Rhys Edwards, our head coach. He'd tried before, and I was still working full time in Aberdeen. So that's kind of how it happened with me. But I think there'll be a mix, in the sense of people will recruit for positions. And then there's also, recruit from a leadership sense, if that's maybe kind of what is lacking. But I suppose it's different now, in the sense players before, like, well, I'm currently in this position, but I play at Loughborough Lightning, and because I love it. I love all the players there. The coaching setup and the facilities are really good. So I think that ultimately decided why I wanted to play there. But we're in a professional, almost professional. There's obviously money at stake. It's changing. It's very competitive. We didn't have the best season as Loughborough Lightning this season, missing some key players. I don't think, I suppose you can move club because you want results, or you can kind of stay with the club because actually it's everything that you want from your rugby journey, I suppose.
It's a great thing, and the games are great. You played a lot of your rugby while still studying and working, and then trying to be an elite athlete on top of that. How different is it now? What is the difference?
This is probably the biggest one for me in terms of reflection, that how much has changed. I was at Heriot-Watt University. That's when I got involved with senior rugby, got involved with under 20s, and then got invited along to Scotland Women. So I was still living in Edinburgh and still at university, playing at Murrayfield Wanderers, and never going to any of my lectures and always just training. That was the easy life. But then once I graduated, I moved back home. I got offered a job, a good job to become an odder in Aberdeen. Aberdeen, for any who know, is not a rugby city, really. I would say kind of football is the dominant sport there. I spent almost five years in Aberdeen working full time. I took every last hour of my annual leave, including some unpaid leave, to be able to play in the Six Nations, to go to tournaments. I would sometimes go down to Edinburgh to train just for the weekends. During the week, I would train in Aberdeen, so with sometimes Aberdeen Sports Village. There would maybe be one or two of us, sometimes the academy boys as well. I tried going to Aberdeenshire boys training, just because I was just so driven to get better. But as you say, not in a disrespectful way or anything, but the level at what club rugby is, women's club rugby, was in Scotland and in Aberdeen at that point in time was probably not where I was at, just how much I was kind of wanting to push to stay within that Scotland squad. So yeah, I tried to train with the boys, and there's obviously only so much you can do. There was a lot of training by myself, a lot of not really training with a team, just trying to stay fit, stay strong, and hold on to the times that we had camp. I was working full time, so that was 8 till 5, if not later, and then training in the evenings normally. It's hard on any life outside of work and rugby to maintain a social life is sometimes quite difficult.
When you look back now, do you think, how the hell did I do it?
Yeah, 100%. I think now we've got a taste of the good life, I suppose. The balance and act. But I think I ultimately knew as well that I wasn't given, and why it got so difficult is because work was probably getting 50%, and I was trying to do my CA exams as well, which was horrific. So then if everyone was getting a bit 50%, 20%, 60%, like just in different ways, and I felt like I was just never being able to fully commit to something and just give it my absolute 100%. And saying that, obviously when I played for Scotland, I will give nothing other than 100%, but actually giving 100% on the day doesn't mean that you've given it 100% in the weeks leading up to it and all the rest of it. So that is probably the biggest difference with going professional, is the time that you can take to prepare, if that's analysis, if that's recovery, if that's all your S&C, is so different. And also from a mental aspect, I can't explain how stressed I was, and I'm pretty good at covering that sort of thing, and I don't think that's very healthy either. It was a whirlwind, and you do reflect on, I think, why did I do that? But we're here now, and I'm very grateful for it.
It was literally costing you doing what you were doing. You know, you said you'd had to take unpaid leave. You still got to pay your bills. You still got to save your pennies for a rainy day. But you mentioned it there about social life. You're almost where men's rugby was 30 years ago, before it went pro, where players were trying to be professional athletes while still doing something else.
Yeah.
Are there discussions among the group about that? You know, here's where we've come from. Remember what it was like. If somebody's moaning about that, you must give some of the young pups some stick if they're complaining about stuff.
There's a few times that we're like, they have no idea how lucky they have it.
Granny Wassell, Thompson and Lloyd in the corner.
That is legit it. But I think you have to, like, one, not try sound too old, but also that's not their fault, that where the game's gone, and I'm actually, as much as at the time I would have maybe not said that, but I'm grateful for the experience I went through in terms of the appreciation I now have for what we're doing and how lucky we are. And also just, yeah, from a character building point of view, I think I've kind of put myself through some pretty tough times.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
To play for Scotland, and I think it really does mean that much to me. But now, and it's been worth it. It really has been worth it. But there will always be the odd comment to the young ones saying we'll never know what we went through.
Right, but you are also a young one compared to some of those that, you know, Donna Kennedy is a proper legend, and now she's probably being recognised more now than she was. Well, no doubt, because when she played, they couldn't fill the stand at last weight. You know, Donna, but she's now on TV. She's given her views. She's very vocal in where she wants the game to go. She's got ambition to really impact that. How much of a relationship have you got with previous generations?
So pre-World Cup, we kind of, well, it's the Scotland Thistles is kind of what they... What
some of my favourite humans.
They're insane.
Bonkers. Properly mad. Properly mad.
We're really well behaved, I would say. Yeah, so we got an introduction to them pre-World Cup.
Let me butt in there. So you got an introduction. Now, you know some of them.
Yes.
But there must have been people in the room that you didn't have the foggiest who they were.
Heard of the name, but could never have put a face to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bit sad there, isn't it? But
yeah,
I think they are so proud of what your group, that sort of 10-year block almost that you've been, they are so proud of you lot.
No, like
they are proper champions for you.
They, and actually kind of when we fully learn maybe what they've done and the people they are and what they went through, that gives us, and that puts almost my situation to shame as well. Do you know what I mean? The game has evolved, but actually we wouldn't be where we are without them and what they've done. The game has changed as well hugely. But it's been really nice to build a relationship with them, and they are hugely proud and supportive of us.
They just love it. They just want every opportunity to get together and get you lot involved, because they can see so much. Are you aware of Sandra Colamartino writing a play about the first World
Cup? Heard of this. I heard this was coming. Is that for the Fringe?
Well, there's hopes for lots of things. It's still very, but starting to write the play. Great lady. I mean, awesome, and just loves her rugby. But so I know how much you love Jim Hamilton, right? Everybody knows how much you love Jim Hamilton. Growing up, I'm guessing none of your heroes were those women that you've now met.
No, and it is something I've been asked on podcasts or anything, like, who inspired you to pick up a rugby ball? Who was your idol? And it's feels a little bit embarrassing, a wee bit sad that, if I'm being brutally honest, I can't say a female rugby player, because when I got involved with the game, it wasn't because I had seen them on the TV and thought, I want to do that. I want to play rugby. It was because it got offered to me and it sounded like a lot of fun.
And you love smashing rucks.
yeah, it wasn't kind of, I think that's why it's upsetting, the fact that it's actually more now that we have a greater appreciation of what they did rather than how I got involved in the game. But I think, yeah, with social media and games being on the TV, just the general kind of media around women's rugby now, it's very, very different. And hopefully, actually, the girls that are going to be involved in 10 years' time can say that they seen us play and we were the reason.
No,
they wanted
question. No, because now you've even got a female ball team at your internationals. You know that the term ball boy is gone.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, Boroughmuir Banshees with Gillian running that show, and they, you know, I know how much they look up to you guys. It's so cool, and it is changing. That is definitely going to happen. Do you have anybody in the game now that you look at and go, wow? So did you go to the World Cup and think, I'm playing against that person? Do you have any sort of heroes now?
I think, you know what, is not hard, but I've obviously now been involved in the game so long, and I was involved when I was young. Like I played England when I was 19 and I was playing against Maggie Alfonsi. That's kind of, do you know what I mean? Like I have actually played against some of the most, like, yeah, your household names now almost, rugby players. And I think because I've been involved so long and had such an awareness of these players that you kind of want to hold yourself to that level as well. I obviously, we played New Zealand. That was the first time we've ever played New Zealand, and them just as a whole, a very, very impressive rugby team. I would say I wouldn't kind of say anyone individually, but I enjoyed that challenge, and don't get me wrong, how that result went second half, very different to the first half, but it is not where I think we were at. I do think it was a good challenge for us though, and it definitely just made us want to kind of push on from where we're at.
Is it something you think will happen, that you'll play those teams more often? Can you imagine a Scotland team going on a tour to Australia, New Zealand, Fiji?
So I think that is what the World XV shall do. That'll give us more opportunity around playing teams all over the world. So obviously it just depends. Obviously your top tier most likely to be New Zealand, Canada, Australia maybe
America.
Yeah, and then obviously you've got your second tier where that could be, again, I don't want to place anyone in it, but you should get the opportunity to play the likes more likely of Australia or USA, Japan, South Africa, hopefully even Fiji. They obviously made their debut at the World Cup. So that is what that tournament's promoting.
When you were at the World Cup, there was a little bit of socialising with opposition, because I think you ended up in the same hotel rather than, and it was still that kind of not knowing what the world was when you were in New Zealand. I think we were talking about this sort of going into the changing room after the game and those kind of things. Is there a good camaraderie between the teams, between opposition players?
Yeah, I think with Six Nations, obviously all the teams in the Six Nations, generally we play with a lot of them in club. So that side of things makes it, I think, a lot easier to break down barriers in terms of having a relationship once the whistle's gone, which there is. When we were in New Zealand, we spent a bit of time, we obviously spent a little bit of time with the Australians as well. Again, I think we just are aware of, we're all in the same boat. We're we're rugby players, we're at a World Cup, we're in New Zealand. Yeah, we're probably all very similar in some ways.
You're going to have to give a media answer to this one, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. You're sitting in the Loughborough changing room after training. You know, you've got your little Scottish clique in one corner and you've got your, you know, your rock stars that play for England that are signing autographs for everybody. And is there a bit of comparison to your international programs or what's going on? Is there any sort of, oh, have you heard about this? You know, Ireland, I've now got blue shorts. Was that something that was, are these things that are changing room chat?
Yeah, you chat about it. I think there's things that, I think there's things we can learn from other nations. England is a good example because look at where they are. I am proudly Scottish, but I will not kind of, it's undeniable what...
You can say whatever you want. Your best mates with Colin Rigby, the president, and you and Mr. Dodson have got a great relationship. So you are bulletproof. Go for it. Say what you want to say.
I think it's undeniable what England have done in terms of their investment into the women's game and the strides they have taken. So yeah, there's things they do we compare to and we think, why haven't we got that? I think every nation will do the same. You can compare, but it only comes from a place of us wanting to do better on the pitch. And ultimately us doing better on the pitch means there's going to be more fans that want to watch. And yeah, it's a bit of a circle, really.
16-year-old Emma, looking to the future, you know, speaking to parents, careers advisor, thinking about what the future was going to be. Where was Emma going to be in 10, 12, 15 years time?
I was going to be an accountant. I was never being a rugby player. I mean, I never...
Was sport, was it something that even though you were going to be an accountant from 8 till 5, were you going to play sport?
When I first got involved with rugby, it wasn't out of, I want to start rugby because I want to play for Scotland. I didn't know there was a women's rugby team. Like, that is how disconnected it was. But I've always enjoyed sport. But I did gymnastics mainly growing up, which is a big difference from rugby. As soon as I got involved in it, I knew I enjoyed it. I knew I wanted to do more. It did all happen really quickly, but I didn't see myself. I can't remember what age I made. Probably maybe around 17. I thought maybe I could play for Scotland, but I wasn't thinking maybe I'll play for Scotland and maybe one day that'll be my job too. Just never.
Just rolled with the punches. Just rolled with the punches. You and your group and the group of players in all the nations that are playing in the World Cup and playing the Six Nations are doing a great job of inspiring your role models. There's no horrible stories come out yet about anyone that I'm aware of. You've all got stories to tell. You're engaging on social media, you know, and I've seen you going back to your club up north, very personable and approachable and all those things. And it probably will change as the game grows and gets bigger. But I wonder how much is the education or role modelling about being a female athlete, mental health, physical health, not just about hoping that 11-year-old will become a Scotland international in 10 years' time. So taking it a bit away from rugby. Now, maybe I'm making it something that people don't want it to be. You know, you hear that a lot. Footballers are role models. No, we're not. We're footballers. So maybe I'm building this thing up to be bigger, but I think you've got the platform and the individuals to do more than just make rugby better.
Yeah, I think with the, when we're talking about rugby, the difference, probably a big difference between the women and men game, is the women have a very different story before their rugby career started. Not saying men don't have that, but
obviously, fewer of them do. Yeah.
I sometimes think that makes us more, why people would want to kind of, well, why they've maybe bought into the game. But as a female athlete, I can obviously only speak for rugby and kind of what it's done for me kind of as a person, as it will shaped my life ultimately. But yeah, there's the friends, the people that I've met through it you would not find anywhere else. And that, again, them people now in my life are so important, and that is strongly off the pitch, probably more so off the pitch, more important to me than they are on the pitch. And from a physical point of view, I just think, yeah, how you are as a person and the mental benefits of being able to train to that intensity, but I suppose the physicality and stuff of rugby and the team nature of it all. There's probably too much I could even say on the matter. And again, I can only speak from a rugby perspective and how it's changed me as a person and what I've gained from it. But hopefully that's something that people can look at and see. Well, yeah, be inspired by it and want to get involved.
You'll have mates from back home that have got no interest in rugby at all, and they'll be really proud of you and they'll watch you, but they probably pay no attention to it at all. Is there anybody that has sort of taken you aside at some point and went, "That's actually pretty amazing what you've done," or "You'll never guess what my granddad said to me about you"? Has there ever been one of those little moments where you've just gone, "Wow"?
Yeah, more so in recent years. I think qualifying for the World Cup was big. And yeah, I've got a really good group of friends at home, which we were a really close friend group in school. They are not sporty, but they don't play rugby. Some of them not as sporty, some of them, yeah, into fitness. So they don't have a full idea of kind of what goes on, but anytime I come home or anytime I've said there's something on social media, they're hugely proud, and it's very, very nice. Going home to Ellen, and it's quite a small town. So yeah, they do love it. They're very supportive, even though sometimes I'm like, "You are clueless," but they are very supportive. I've also been in instances I was obviously an auditor in Aberdeen, and I was out at a client site, and one of the older kind of guys in the company brought me like a paper cutting of me, and he was like, "I've seen you in the paper," and it was also for my rugby, which was really, really nice. The fact that, yeah, someone that didn't even know me on a personal level, I'd obviously spoken to them a lot through just work, and they were very proud as well, which was really, really nice. So yeah, there has been little instances which I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. The one I witnessed that I loved, and Lisa Thompson's been on the Scottish Rugby podcast telling the story this week, when she was being inducted into the Hall of Fame at Melrose, as she's leaving, Chris Patterson's dad wanted a picture with Lisa. So it was class seeing this, you know, 60, 70 year old guy want a picture with Lisa, and the photographer was Mossy Patterson.
That is very, very good.
It was just one of those golden little moments. It was so funny being there, and Lisa saying things like, "I'm just a wee lassie for Hoy, come on, this, that." But that humility that you all carry is spectacular, led by Dr. Rachel Malcolm. I think it's funny when every now and then people refer to her as Dr. Rachel, just to put in there. When you've been through a lot, you said you found it a struggle working full time, trying to train almost full time, and it was tough and it was stressful. That stress will just have moved into somewhere else probably, because now it's about performance and results and, you know, can I get fit? Am I fit enough? Am I playing well? I'm at Loughborough, I'm at Scotland. There's a lot going on there. How do you get support? How do the squad and individuals get support to ensure that their mental health's looked after?
Yeah, I think obviously, I think the stresses that we now have are very different to previously what we had, whether that's money, whether that's where you're staying, whether that's performance, injury. There is a whole host of different things that this life, I suppose, can bring, which, and again, it's hard because you would say this is the dream. We are living the dream. We're professional sports people in our hobby, essentially. But there is a huge kind of focus on the mental side of that. And first and foremost, I think what we are really lucky to have is as players and as friends, we're very, very close. And personally, I'm very lucky to have the likes of Rachel Malcolm, who I live with half a year when I'm at Loughborough, your Lisa Thompson and Rona Lloyd, all of them. And I think we're all very honest and open about of where we're at and what we're doing to kind of make sure no one is struggling as such. But also from a Scottish Rugby perspective, like, there is external support, which has now become much more readily available and encouraged. And again, I'm coming, I've obviously, as I've said, I have been in the game a long, long time, and how much that side of things has changed is huge. And actually, there's the performance kind of psychology side of things, but there is the clinical side of it, which can be completely off pitch stuff. But I think the mental side of going into a game, how much that can actually impact what you do on the pitch. And as a squad, we have losing 12 games in a row, I think you'd be in denial not to realise actually what mental impacts that's having on you and your training and everything else. So it is spoken about, and I think it's really important that it is. But we're very lucky with the support we have around us.
So looking into your crystal ball, I know you've got some targets. You've got individual targets to get back fit and to get playing. But what does it look like for you, for women's rugby, maybe for Scotland in the next 3, 5, 10 years, do you think?
I would like to see myself playing for another 5 years, who knows. The next World Cup is really big for us, and I think we obviously had that big block not being at a World Cup. So after going to New Zealand, I think a big focus for us is we don't go below that now. So being at that World Cup in England is important. I would love to make it to 100 caps. I've got a wee while to go, but I'm in it for the long run if my body allows. If it doesn't, then it maybe wasn't meant to be. But they would be the big ones. We want to see more wins with Scotland, because they're good. They are very they're special. I would just like to experience a few more of them, I think.
How long before you're selling out the Damn Health?
Like next year, surely.
Next year against England.
I would like to think so. I know obviously that it's England, France will be at home next year, and I'm assuming we'll be at the Damn Health again. But I would like to think next year, because it's getting much better this year with the two stands at least almost full. We just need to get them in once. So
the support network around you as a group, because you've come from that time of unfortunately only really family watching in a stand to now 3,600 I think it was at the weekend. But that those family groups and those really close friends move as a pack, don't they? I was down at the Commonwealth Games Sevens, and there's Jenny Maxwell's there, but so is Tomo's folks and Rona's folks, and they're all milling around together. And if people can't be there, they sort of just take on a few of you and become your parents while you're there. that's going to change as the game gets bigger, I would think. But that's a pretty nice environment to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, and I think that comes from just so many of us now have been involved for such a long time and stuck together through the highs and the lows, I suppose. And the parents come with us. They've been, Rona Lloyd's parents are key to mention in this, because they are standout individuals. I just actually cannot, even if anyone knows who they are, they will just understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, in many away games, obviously there's so many that parents can't make, whether it's in France, in Italy or in New Zealand, but it will not be long before another one of the team's mum or dad will have their arm around you and kind of pulling you in. So we're very lucky in that aspect.
I'm trying to get Tomo on stage at Melrose to give her a Hall of Fame cap and induct her into Hall of Fame. But I had to wait for mum and dad to come in from outside because they were away getting fresh air.
Got you.
Come on, we need to move on. And Lisa's going, they're outside. I want to, but they're outside. So I went outside. Oh. I said, come on, you two, get a move on. Your daughter's about to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. It's so cool. Right, you know the squad really well. Give me a couple of players that are going to light it up in the next 2 or 3 years. I've got two names in my head, but I'm guessing you're going to pull a different one.
I think from what we've seen a lot of Evie Gallagher, and actually she's not been on the scene a huge amount yet, and I think there's still so much to come.
She's properly bonkers.
Yeah, no, she's, but just, she obviously had a big injury and she missed out in the World Cup, and again, that can send you one of two ways. And by God, like, she's worked so hard. And I would say on and off the pitch, in terms of her analysis, everything, she's real pushed on. And it's just, well, it's very exciting for us. Emma Orr is undeniably
everybody's pick.
A superstar. She's world class. And
she does not know it.
That is the best part about it.
She does not know it.
She's just a really, really great
proper farmer.
Yeah, she's a farmer and she's a home bird as well. But she's got very good rugby skills. And they will only get better with obviously the players around her and the experiences that she's going to have.
One of the other bits I love about her is she'd only actually played about 10 minutes of rugby before she started lighting it up.
It is on it, just a, and you know what, you want to say just a natural ability, and she does have, but she also works really hard. So, I would also say Eva Donaldson, she's going to definitely come in the same, probably at my bloody expense, but here we are.
And how, just, I need to put, how good's Meryl Smith?
So again, yeah, another,
it's like
one.
She's got 50 caps.
Baller, like her kicking ability as well is just insane. And it's so easy for us to say, like, we'll call them the kids, and they're not kids because they're better rugby players than we are. When we say that, well, better than me anyway. No, they are. It's just really exciting. There's a lot of young talent come through. Obviously, ones names that I've not even named, but. It is very exciting.
Right, so some of the old birds, your pal in the second row, Sarah Bonner, I mean, the two of you are just, I don't know, what a double act.
We, on the pitch, I think if people, on the pitch, Bonds has probably the switch, as in sees red, whereas I can kind of keep it quite, like, I won't, if someone is giving you back chat or whatever, I'm normally quite good at staying, like, don't really, I'll just laugh, like, whereas she'll bite, which is, I almost need to just, like, pull her back. But I think the combination of both is very good. We like to say I've got the power and she's got the endurance, but played a lot of games alongside Sarah Bonner, and she is another one of my best friends. She is a truly incredible person off the pitch. She's been great, and she will light up a room when she comes into it. I think people will just think the second row is just a wee bit bonkers, but it works.
She's another one with an amazing story. I mean, many of you all of you have got a story to tell because the journey that you've had to go through to get here. And there's some that were there for part of it and for whatever reason are now, but you're all standing on the shoulders of those that went before you. And the young team are, or what do you call them? The kids are lucky to
be there.
You know some of the female coaches that are out there, Scottish female coaches that are doing good things. Do you think we're close to having a female coaching team for Scotland? I'm not getting rid of Bernie and his team and Chris at Tyrell. I'm not getting rid of them, but future.
Yeah, quite a few of us went and seen the Futures playing the under 23 Wales at the weekend.
Yeah, that was gold. Well played. An absolute PR triumph. Loved that.
Actually, like really, really good rugby on show. Like me and Rowan are sitting next to each other, and I was like, I was not doing that at that age. They're actually playing shape. They're playing shape. I think that, and that's, we were genuinely, genuinely really impressed. And the players, we were like, kind of watch our backs. And obviously that's been led up by Claire Cruikshank, who's done a really good job. And we've already seen what has been going on at Edinburgh Uni and the players that they're bringing through for Scotland women. So it is exciting. I do think Scottish rugby is going in the right direction in terms of their pathway into the women's squad and the people that are coming through.
Yeah. No, there's Lindsay Smith and Louise Dalglish, and there's a nice group.
I know she's doing great things in, Japan, but no, there's a lot.
Is Emma Wassell going to be a coach?
You know what? I get asked this a lot, and I think it's, even though I'm older, I still can't see it because I still feel like I have so much to be coached. I still feel very much like a player, and I'm still kind of absorbing all the knowledge that I'm being given. And there's obviously elements of the game like line out and stuff that I really enjoy taking up a lead of. I like taking a lead of it in a team perspective, but I don't know if coaching is for me or not.
You're gonna be all over the media. You're not gonna have time to coach. We all know it.
Stop bluffing. I'll be on the TV. I don't.
Yeah, I'll be watching you on the TV. The derelict people that look like me on the TV. Your career is, especially if you keep pulling this, I'm injured so that I could be a pundit nonsense.
Right, that is just not true. But it's nice to take the opportunity when it's there.
Emma, I've absolutely loved speaking to you. Last time we were celebrating Megan's retirement, and it was good to see the girls there to support. I asked this question at the end of the podcast, so I've not primed you for this. So for you, Emma, happiness is, finish the sentence for me, please.
Oh, you didn't prime me. Are you meant to prime for that?
No. Some people I do when I know they'll struggle, but you media personality, you'll smash it. Happiness is... It's got to be coffee with Tomo. Come on.
I was going to say line outs. Is that terrible?
No, you could say that.
Happiness is line out analysis with a flat white.
With a flat white and Sarah Bonner.
Yeah.
Class. Emma, thank you so much. And all the best in the recovery. And hopefully you'll be back carving up very, very soon.
Thank you so much. It has been a privilege to be on.
You liar. If you've enjoyed that, you can catch us on Apple, Acast, Spotify. You can watch on Facebook and YouTube. I absolutely loved it. And hopefully she'll be back very, very soon. But she's a lady in high demand. And you can just tell from everything she said how much she's done to get to this point, but there's still a lot left to do, and she's going to do it with all her buddies over a flat white somewhere. So you never know, you might bump into her in a coffee shop. Go and say hello, because she's definitely got some line out stuff to bore you with. My name is Bruce Aitchison from the Happiness Is podcast, and my happiness is egg-shaped. I look forward to speaking to you all again very, very soon.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.